So thank you very much for having a chat to us about what's going on at the Geelong Gallery. One of the things that I've noticed is that the regional galleries in Victoria in particular are really stepping up with some major exhibitions. Can you give us, my listeners, some understanding of what's going on in that space?
Yeah, sure, Annie. The regional galleries, I think, do punch above their weight without a doubt. There's some terrific programming that's happening across the sector at the moment. And I think regional galleries, the size and scale of our operations, is obviously vastly different to major, national institutions. But we're also a space for, experimentation, and for, developing some really terrific, exhibitions. There's some great expertise across the regional gallery sector. One of our major exhibitions this year draws on that expertise in-house and also draws on a real strength in our permanent collection, which is printmaking, Australian printmaking. So a lot of the regional galleries work to their strengths, particularly in regards to their collection holdings, and tease out some terrific exhibitions.
Well, let's go to that, the major ticketed item, which is going to start on the 18th of May, which is Cutting Through Time, Cressida Campbell, Margaret Preston, and the Japanese Print. Tell us about that exhibition.
Well, that's an exhibition that works to our strengths as an institution with a very strong focus on Australian and international printmaking. We have a beautiful work by Margaret Preston in our collection, Fuchsia and Balsam, which was acquired in 1982. We also have some terrific Japanese ukiyo-e prints in our collection as well. Many of them came in the 50s and 60s, so they've been in our collection for, 60 to 70 years. So we were interested in exploring this notion of Margaret Preston's interest in Japanese ukiyo-e prints. She possibly saw her first exhibition of those works in London at the Victoria and Albert Museum in the early 1910s, probably around 1912, 1913, and they piqued her interest. And so when she returned to Australia, her printmaking 1916, 1919, etc., she was very much applying some of those Japanese ukiyo-e compositional and technical approaches in her early printmaking. And then we were also interested in looking at that throughout her career, not just immediately after her return to Australia, where she adopted or applied those techniques and compositional devices to Australian scenes, particularly Sydney Harbour and the areas of Manly, etc., that she was living in. But also, we were very interested in looking at a more contemporary take as well. And we've selected Cressida Campbell, the very well-known Australian artist, to be the more contemporary representation of this notion of cutting through time. Like, how do these traditions flow? And for Cressida Campbell, as a contemporary artist, her interest in Japanese ukiyo-e prints was peaked in the 1980s. She had a residency in Tokyo for 6 months, where she learnt some of the traditions of Japanese ukiyo-e printmaking. She travelled to Japan on numerous occasions. She's collected Japanese prints over the years, and many of these appear in her wonderful compositions. And she's a very interesting artist slash printmaker who works in the woodcut tradition, as did Margaret Preston, and the Japanese artists as well. So we're looking at these threads running through artists over time to see how they've been influenced and adapted and modified certain aspects of the Japanese ukiyo-e print into their practices as well. And I should point out that both Margaret and Cressida have very different and distinct ways of approaching this from a technical point of view, but we think it will make a really interesting insight into how these artists have been inspired by traditions that go back centuries.
Well, it's actually quite fascinating to see the craft of, or the art of, the curator and the depth of insights that curators bring to artistic pursuits, this kind of
Oh, thank
exhibition.
you. Thank you, Annie. Yes, look, it's a wonderful profession, I think, and it's one in which, you are looking at a lot of different things and making threads between things, bringing things together that have not been seen together before. That's one of the most exciting parts, I would say, of curating, that you're able to be creative yourself. Obviously not as perhaps creative as the artists that have made the works, but certainly there's a lot of creativity and a lot of research that goes into a project like this, and getting an understanding of each of the three distinct eras of artistic practice that we're bringing together to make sure that it is logical and enjoyable, and it will be a beautiful exhibition, without a doubt.
There's some other exhibitions that are coming along in your calendar, which I found absolutely fascinating. There's obviously a couple of different threads. One of them is environment, or as artists interact with reflecting on what's going on with the environment. And one of them in particular is fascinating, Precedence by Diane Fogwell. Tell us about that.
Yes, thanks, Annie. I'm really glad you've picked up on that thread. Diane Fogwell's Prescience is a wonderful work that we commissioned back in around 2020, and we presented it in 2021, just after COVID allowed us to stage it for our guests. And Diane's one of Australia's most impressive printmakers. She's just extraordinary. She developed a 56-panel panorama, effectively, lino-cut and hand-painted. And when you stand in the space, you are literally surrounded by the natural environment and some of the precarity, I guess, within the natural environment. So there's scenes of bushfire, drought, but there's also scenes of regeneration as well. So she had lived through the Canberra bushfires quite a few years ago, and she was very interested, obviously, in natural disasters and how they impact the landscape, but then also how the landscape has got the capacity to regrow and regenerate. So it's a beautiful panorama, and we were very fortunate to stage it back in 2021, and it was so incredibly popular that we were able to secure the support of two entities to help us acquire the work, which is fantastic. It's a major acquisition for us here at the gallery, and the Colin Holden Charitable Trust and Mary Lou and Ellen Archibald Foundation have helped us acquire the work. So in celebration of that, we wanted to restage its presentation. And we're doing it in a different space to which the original presentation was staged. So that presents some interesting new challenges to present the work. But it is a very adaptable and flexible work that we are looking forward to seeing in this new iteration in the gallery. And then alongside that, we also have an exhibition by a young Western Australian artist, Jacobus Capone. And he similarly works in the area of environmental concern. A lot of artists are working in this space, of course, urgently bringing to our attention as a public the precarity of the environment. And his work is a double screen video work in which he moves through the landscape in a long form performance presentation in which he's walking through around the base of a glacier to kind of bring attention to the fact that some of these glacial masses are of course melting due to climate change. So through those two works, it's a really interesting juxtaposition in regards to contemporary artists responding to one of the most pressing concerns we have at the moment.
The other thing that's very interesting about your calendar of events is that you look at the past. There's an element of delving into the past, so that and in a way that's really, really fascinating. So this one called Double Vision, Mapping Dura in a Time of Crisis. What a fascinating idea.
Yes, yeah, no, that's a terrific exhibition that's coming up. That will be with us from 27th of July through to 27th of October. And that's, again with our strong focus on printmaking. We have on long-term loan to us an extraordinary collection of about 1,100 prints, the Colin Holden collection. And that's a personal collection that's come to us after the sad passing of Colin Holden. It's a collection of Australian and international historical and contemporary printmaking, and it puts Geelong Gallery on the map as one of the key institutions in Australia supporting Australian and international printmaking. This is a particular work by Raymond Arnold and Ian Westacott that was acquired by the Colin Holden Charitable Trust during COVID, the two artists, one of whom, Ray, is based down in Queenstown in Tasmania, and Ian Westacott is a Scottish artist up in the Northern Hemisphere. So during COVID, or just pre-COVID, I believe it was, Raymond went over to visit him, and they were out having a look at some works, and they were inspired by Albrecht Dürer's Melancholia, which of course was an extraordinary print made in 1514. And they used that as the starting point for a collaborative exercise that endured during the COVID time, where they would work on plates and then they would send them backwards and forwards to one another, and they would collaborate on these plates to present or create a series of, I think it's about 20 or so works that draw on elements of the original print. So they tease out some of the compositional elements within the Dürer print to create a whole new body of work. So it's very interesting. It's, as you say, it's an exploration of what's gone, but brought very much into the 21st century in terms of this contemporary collaboration between two artists in two different hemispheres.
Most interesting possibly to my listeners is a People's Press, Noel Counihan. You're doing a exhibition of Counihan's work.
So Noel Counihan was an artist that was particularly favoured by Colin Holden. He was very interested in him for his social realism, social justice elements that he teased out in his career. And this exhibition looks at, the collaboration that, well, in this particular body of work, he collaborated with a number of artists to explore unionist sentiments, particularly the Ballarat uprising 170 years ago or so, the Eureka Stockade, etc. So he brought together a range of different artists under a sort of cooperative or a collective to make a folio of images that responded to the Eureka Stockade. So we're showing those works and also some of the other works that Counihan delved into, some of the other 20th century issues, including the Great Depression, World War II, etc., and the Vietnam War, to kind of look at the social focus of his practice and how he used the printmaking medium, which we know very well was very much about democratizing art and getting artistic images out there into the population. So looking at how, you know, how centuries ago that was done, but now in the 20th century, how Noel Counihan's used this media, the media of printmaking, to get the message out about political and social issues.
Yeah, that's in November. And there's so many other things to talk about in your collection, because you have the support of particular generous gifts over time, and you're doing several exhibitions that deliberately highlight the generosity of those gifts. And one of the things that's fascinating, it would be fascinating for people who are artists especially, but also viewers, is that you have in your collection, because of this, people like Goya and Daumier, and you know, internationally famous, as well as Whistler, in fact. You've got works from all these people, which you're then going to be showing in, the Donoghue and Kiss Gift.
Yes, exhibition. That's an exhibition that's coming up imminently and begins on the 23rd of March. The O'Donoghue and Kiss Gift originates from some local collectors, Conrad O'Donoghue and Rosemary Kiss, who have been very, very engaged with the gallery over time. They've made tranches of gifts to us in 2010 and more recently in 2019. They're keen printmaking collectors and also have collections of ceramics as well. So we are staging an exhibition of some of the key works from there. As you said, you've reeled off some really significant international artists that were represented in that show, and also a range of Australian artists too that they collected over time. Sadly, dear Conrad passed away a couple of years ago, and so we wanted to honour his passing and celebrate the collection with his wife of almost 30 years, Rosemary Kiss, to celebrate that gift and celebrate their insights as collectors. And then also another exhibition that will be staged this year as well, of course, and we stage a recent acquisitions exhibition usually every 2 years ago, to again honour the range of different donors and the eclectic mix of works that come into our collection through the support of generous collectors donating to the collection and helping us grow it. It's a really important part of what we do as an institution, and we want to also honour and celebrate and thank those donors over time as well.
There's also this Rauschenberg and Johns exhibition, Now, this is really interesting and exciting, I'd have to say.
Yes, this will be terrific. So this is an exhibition that originates from the National Gallery of Australia. We've got a terrific relationship with our colleagues in the travelling exhibition team up there, and they put together exhibitions for display at both the National Gallery of Australia, of course, and then they often send them out on the road to different institutions. So we'll be the exclusive Victorian venue for Rauschenberg and Johns, Significant Others, two major American artists, particularly in the printmaking realm, and this exhibition will celebrate the works in the collection of the National Gallery of Australia. It will celebrate Rauschenberg and Johns' respective practices. They were very politically aligned. They had very individual artistic styles, of course, but they had a lot of creative dialogue that went on between them that then influenced their respective works.
I mean, they revolutionized American art, effectively.
Absolutely. They were very significant artists and very significant to one another as well. So it'll celebrate their relationship, their impact on the international art scene. It's a group of works that come from the Kenneth Tyler collection at the National Gallery of Australia, produced by Rauschenberg and Johns between the late 1960s and the early 1970s. So it sits in parallel, I guess, with the People's Press Noel Coonahan exhibition. They're timed together to again emphasise these notions of collaboration and the creative process that can be all the more richer through collaboration.
And before I let you go, I have to say that you honour the present as well. You have prizes for contemporary artists, young artists, and you also got a biennial prize for innovation in Australian craft and design, which is, that is a fabulous exhibition.
Yes, that'll be terrific as well. So both of those, the 2024 Geelong Contemporary Art Prize and the Make Award will be from 10th of August. So Geelong Gallery has a long tradition of prizes dating back to the 1930s, painting prizes, print prizes, watercolour prizes, etc. So the 2024 Geelong Contemporary Art Prize for Contemporary Painting will be the latest iteration in that sequence and long history of prizes supported by the Dimmick Foundation. Entries are open. And we would strongly encourage artists to look on our website, see what the conditions of entry are, and hopefully put in an entry for exhibition. It is a painting prize, but we do like artists to, stretch the boundaries of what painting is and means to them. So that's a wonderful exhibition and prize of $30,000. Through that prize, over the years, we have amassed an amazing selection of paintings through our history of prizes, which is fantastic. The Make Award is a very special exhibition coming from the Australian Design Centre up in Sydney. Jason Smith, the gallery's director, was one of the co-judges for the inaugural prize, and it's a really important one for us in terms of Geelong's designation as a UNESCO City of Design. So through our programming, we lead and support that designation through many of the exhibitions that we do, where we look at the range of artworks that artists are working in terms of that nexus between art and design. So this will be a wonderful exhibition from the 10th of August through to late October.
Well, I think we've done and dusted it. What a fabulous exhibition program that you've got at the Geelong Gallery for 2024.
Thank you, Annie, very much for your support, and we look forward to welcoming you and your listeners down throughout the year.